Welcome to part 3 of our parenting series. In week 1, we discussed realistic expectations of our teenager. In week 2, we discussed the fact that we cannot change our teenager, only ourselves. This week, we move on to the vital link between the teenager and the parent. I had the privilege of co-authoring a parenting book, Professor Irving Gersh, Professor of Child Psychology, called Everyday Parenting for Everyday Parents, which, by the way, is on special offer over Hanukkah from the Seed Office, 0208 958 0820, ask for Roz. Terms and conditions apply. This is focused on parents of children in primary school. It revolves around 5 key tools. The first tool is that boundaries create more space for love. Often the greatest challenge that we have in parenting our children is creating proper boundaries, by which I mean sensibly chosen rules with adequate consequences that we can follow through with confidence. Children need boundaries, especially young children. It makes life secure and predictable. However, when it comes to teenagers, this rule almost needs inverting. Instead of boundaries create more space for love, it becomes love creates more acceptance of boundaries. This is the overriding principle. As our children get older, they become more and more independent, and we have less options for rules and sanctions. Yet they still need boundaries. But what is it that will determine whether they respect them or flout them? The answer, in one word, is the relationship that they have with us. Let's quote a fabulous book, which I highly recommend, called The Heart of Parenting by Rabbi Don Kestenbaum. If we treat our children properly and have a close relationship with them, then they will be far more receptive to our rules. They will note that we only have their best interest at heart. They will not want to break our trust. However, if our relationship is weak, our power to discipline becomes equally weak. They will have no interest in listening to us. They will only follow because they are afraid of us, and their resentment will continue to escalate to sad proportions. In a word, the relationship is everything. It is the single most important factor in establishing appropriate rules and determining whether our children will observe them or reject them. To quote another psychologist, Dr. Pelkovitz, rules without relationship equals rebellion. It's true that during these adolescent years, our children may strain the relationship, but as long as that relationship remains extant, that will regulate their behavior. But it is a long-term strategy. Sometimes we can win the battle and end up losing the war. We impose our way and may have achieved what we wanted for now, but we damage the future. In each encounter, we need to ask ourselves, what will the impact be on the relationship? Can it withstand it? And does the gain outweigh the cost? In the course that follows these very short broadcasts, we will look at the relationship and the rules and the balance between them. But for now, let's take an extract and focus on the relationship. The parent-child relationship is built through unconditional love. I love you because you are you and have faith in your intrinsic goodness. This leads to at least 2 important practical considerations. Firstly, my love of my child is never up for question. I may not love their behavior, but they must always know that I love them and believe in them. The words that I choose must reflect that. Let's take a simple example. Your son has damaged a new iPad given to your daughter for a birthday by recklessly throwing it across the garden in temper. Let's assume for a moment that the immediate fireworks have died down and that he's in a place to listen to you, because there's no point discussing it before then. Detach the behavior from the child. Compare. You are utterly selfish and irresponsible and nasty. 2, I'm really taken aback by your behavior. I know that you are capable of being considerate and that you know that this has caused a lot of pain. The second factor is that love needs expressing and should never be assumed. The manner in which we express it needs adaptation as our children become older. Some become less tactile. Others still welcome that human touch. It's so easy to forget that just because they don't jump on us anymore when we come through the door. But watch their body language when you are tactile and be guided by that. Don't impose, but don't forget. Some still enjoy a hug, others the gentle touch. By the way, giving proper time and attention with our mobile off is also a powerful communication of love. Small gestures speak volumes. A lift to the bus stop, a favourite supper, a note by the bed, or simply, I love you, before they finally go up to bed. King Solomon, the wisest of all humans, said, just as water reflects the face, so the face reflects the face. If I see love in your eyes, my eyes respond with love. In the week ahead, look for opportunities to express love to your teenager in a way that works for them. Don't take it for granted. Show love and they will feel loved. It's at the heart of the relationship, and the relationship is everything.